On today's episode of Watch Time, we'll be talking with Amy Mucha again from Daisy Pops, and we'll be discussing entrepreneurship, how she started her business, and we'll discuss a program that Amy and I have both gone through that you can attend locally or nationally that can help you increase your business and grow right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. I'm here again with Amy Mucha from Daisy Pops.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for coming back. I'm sure it was such a long wait to come back yet again for another episode.
Such a long wait.
Let's talk a little bit about your business, just for like people that maybe haven't seen the last episode, or maybe they just need a refresher. Can you just tell us, you know, what is Daisy Pops and how did you get started? And feel free to expand to like if there's things that you want to bring up and like what kind of got you on track to be like, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Sure, yeah. Well, Daisy Pops is a cake pop bakery in Kent, Ohio. We have about 17 pop artists working with us, a lot part-time. But we crank out close to 3,000 cake pops per week on average throughout the year. So when people ask me oftentimes, like, you just make cake pops? I'm like, yes, like just cake pops, you know? Like, I'm going to ride that cake pop wave till I can't anymore. But cake pops started off as just a little hobby, thanks to my mother-in-law. I love koala bears. They are my favorite animals. Been obsessed with them since I was four. She found a cake pop book that had a little koala cake pop in it. And she said, hey, Amy, like you like baking, you're creative. Why don't you try this? So I did. Didn't fail, surprisingly, and then just kept making them like for my kids when they came around, for my students. I was a high school math teacher. Students work a lot better when cake pops are on the line. They do their quadratic formulas much quicker. You know, it works great. And so it was actually one of my students' moms back in 2016. She saw like a goofy little like turkey cake pop I think I had made for my kids' preschool teacher. And she said, hey, can I buy some? I was like, you'd like to spend money on this silly little treat that I made? It's like, sure, I'll take your money. So then that started like me making just holiday cake pops, you know, making like 10 dozen. If I sold all of them, it was did a little happy dance. Thought, wow, look at me go. Look at this little hobby. And then in 2018, it was actually a current student of mine in my AP statistics class. And I sat down for like, let's like make this a real thing. So we made the Instagram, we made the Facebook. I bribed all of my students to follow us the next day. My husband helped with the website, getting the LLC and everything. So yeah, it just was a hobby turned into a side hustle. People kept ordering more cake pops, and people then started asking, Amy, when are you going to stop teaching and do cake pops full time? And I would roll my eyes and like try to maybe not roll my eyes. Yeah. But inside I was rolling hardcore and thinking, what a dumb question, because you cannot make a living off of cake pops. And I love teaching too much to quit, which were both very true at the time. And then COVID came, and that just switched everything in my life around. I say it was kind of threefold what happened. The parts of teaching that I loved, the relational side of it, was gone. I knew it was temporary. Didn't make it any easier, though, so that was really, really tough. Individually wrapped treats popped off, so people didn't want cakes with candles in it to blow. They didn't blow out. They just wanted little cake pops, individually wrapped, that they could drop off. And also, I saw what more of Amy in the business looked like. Because for those 3 months of the school year, that spring in 2020, I was putting maybe like 20% of Amy into teaching and 80% into cake popping because of how it was online. Mm-hmm. And we saw a real increase in the business. So I went back to teach one more year. And then in May of 21, I officially retired from teaching and now do cake popping full time.
That's an outstanding story. It's amazing to me that, like, I didn't know, just talking with you in the past, like, this kind of all really started with love of koala bears and a book.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, I often think so much of my life is, like, very planned out. Like, I married my high school sweetheart. You know, like, I taught at the school I went to. I lived two doors down from my parents. But, like, this was, like, a super chance thing. You know, like, my mother-in-law was, on a whim was like, hey, and, like, what if she hadn't done that? Like, my life would look so different right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great story. And I think, you know, what's even more amazing about it is it's not done.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like there's so much more for you to do, and you've been expanding and you're growing. Let's talk a little bit about I guess like I know you're starting a new business. So if you want to talk a little bit about that, or you have started a new business and like kind of where you plan to go with that as well.
Sure. Yeah. So it's really funny because I often call myself an accidental entrepreneur. Like, you know, aside from like making friendship bracelets in elementary school and selling them, never once in my life was I like, yeah, I'm going to own my own business. Most people I feel are like, oh, like I like being in control. You know, like I want to like, I don't want to work for the man. I loved teaching. Like I loved working for somebody else because then I could, if it was a problem above my pay scale, I could just say, hey, like here you are. So that was not why I became an entrepreneur at all. And so now it's really funny that I do, in fact, have two businesses now. So we have Daisy Pops, which is making cake pops. Mm-hmm. And then we have another side of the business. Currently is called Pop Innovations. We're going to rebrand that really soon into Daisy Makes. So a side where the making side of the business.
Okay. Yes.
And so we 3D print a lot in our business. So our cake pop stands that we use were 3D printed. And then we actually switched our cake pop form. So they are not the balls that you usually see like at Starbucks. They're actually disc cake pops. So we switched our shape about 2 years ago or so. And it's far more efficient for us. And then there's lots of other popsatives, if you will. Like they don't fall off the stick as easily. You can put logos on them. It's just a lot of great things.
Yeah.
And so other cake poppers have been seeing us do these. So we used to say it sets us apart from other cake pops. Well, it doesn't as much anymore because everybody is like, oh, actually, like that's a great idea. It does like double, you know, the time. It saves you half the time, you know, that you're making your cake pops. And so in 3D printing, we started making the cutters that we use. And then we came up with a system where you can cut and then you push it out. And then we have trays that you can rest your cake pops in to put the sticks in a lot faster.
Yeah.
And so other cake poppers have again been seeing this on social media like, hey, like, are you selling that? It's like, well, we're not selling it, you know, but I guess we could. So about 5 months ago, officially, we started selling these tools. And it's been really, really busy for us, which is great. And I love the fact that we can help other cake poppers gear up their cake pop game, too. So they're more efficient and more consistent, which means that they're more successful and enjoying their cake popping career much more than they were.
It's great. Like, I really feel like what it does, in my opinion, just from like a marketing sales perspective, is it really positions you as the thought leader in your industry, which is great because now people are looking to you to become better. And then, you know, you guys are also being able to lead the way in efficiency. And I mean, I've been in your kitchen, you've given me a tour, and like, I just think it's really cool the way you have it set up. And it reminded me a lot of, have you seen the movie The Founder?
And I have not, but I need to go watch that.
So that's with Michael Keaton, and it's all on the history of McDonald's. So it's Ray Kroc, who ended up buying McDonald's and taking it over from the McDonald's brothers. Mm-hmm. But his whole thing was when they were designing the McDonald's system, was they basically like laid out the kitchen on the floor with tape, and they were trying to find a way to make the burger making process more efficient so they could get the food out faster.
Mm-hmm.
So like what I thought was kind of crazy is like the comparison was like when you were showing me, I'm like, it reminded me of that, where you have a system where everything kind of flows to like make that whole process more efficient so you guys can make more cake pops, and then you guys can also like do a better job. So it's really cool.
Yes, that's high praise. I'm glad to be compared with McDonald's in that sense.
You definitely have to check out the movie. It's really interesting, like in terms of like just how they did this to like kind of basically create fast food is what they were doing. I think like I'm really excited to like to dive in, talk a little bit more about business ownership, and I want to talk about your challenges and like things that you've learned. But I think what's really cool is I think just going through this whole process, like what you did is like, I think the essence of entrepreneurship is you found something that you do really well. And then you also found a problem in the industry and you solved it. So there's two things there that like you were able to create. And I know the last episode you talked about like your mission is to like make everybody's day a little brighter with cake pops.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you know, are always striving towards that mission. So it's really cool to see you kind of like living this mission and the stream that you're going to put together.
Yeah, we do always say like we want to bring joy with cake pops, which I think we definitely kill it with our customers. We do bring joy with our cake pops. But then I feel like we have this other audience now too with the second business of fellow cake poppers.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like the cake pop community is kind of like, you know, gatekeeped, you know, like this is my recipe. Like I, you know, will not share it, or like these are my methods. And I want to just blast that out of the water. Be like, that's not how it needs to be. You know, in fact, like especially my dad is the one, he's always like, Amy, like, aren't you kind of like shooting yourself in the foot? Like you can ship nationally. So like, you aren't they making cake pops that you could be selling? I was like, well, I mean, technically, yes. But also, you know, like all like all ships rise with the tide, right? Yeah. So if we're like, hey, like this is the better way to make cake, maybe not better, the more efficient way yeah. to make cake pops. Because there are some cake poppers out there that are like, we like the ball form, you know, that is classic. Yeah. We're not going to change. To which I say, that's great. Like, I'm so glad. But you cannot scale the way that we have scaled doing yeah. it that way. But to each, you know, his or her own in the cake popping world.
Yeah.
But for those people who are like, we do want to scale, we do want to save time, or like mm-hmm. we have young kids at home, like we only have so many hours in yeah. a day, like how do we make the cake pops we need to? The system that we've created helps them. And I love seeing that. I'm just like, oh, like the stories that have come in of people like, oh my gosh, like it used to take me like 3 hours to make a batch of cake pops. I can do it in an hour now because of this. Like my love of cake popping has come back, which is just, it brings me joy too. Yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's, you know what? I agree with you. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is like, I think there's just so much work out there for everybody. Everybody's got their own exactly. way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And when you share ideas and innovations, like it really does benefit, I feel like a lot of people. Like what's kind of true too to this whole thing is like, you know, you're helping people that were, you know, in a place where you were. You're also helping people that maybe are a little further along than you, but like they kind of are stuck and now you're helping get them unstuck. And what's kind of neat is, you know, like if for you guys, like, you know, you're making your cake pops, but I bet you there's somebody out there that maybe they want to make cake pops that are all vegan cake pops, mm-hmm. you know, or all dairy free cake pops. And like maybe, and if you guys aren't focusing on that, they can use your cutters to do that.
Right.
And now people that can't have dairy, can't have gluten, can't have, you know, whatever it may be, they are getting a chance to enjoy
right.
those fun creations too.
Yes, exactly. We do both of those, just FYI.
Okay,
but
I wasn't
yes,
sure.
Yes, we do. Okay. But that's so true. And also in response to my dad's concern, you know, that we're like shooting ourselves in the foot. My husband always says, he's like, well, he's like in a gold rush. He's like, you don't want to be the one gold rushing. He's like, you want to be the one producing the shovels.
That's
I'm
true.
Like, that's so true. And so like, as he said, he's like, well, he's like, there are not many pop shops like us. Like we're one, I have not found other ones that are mm-hmm. bigger than us necessarily. Of course, like Starbucks, you know, the company that's yeah. making those. There's a few others out there that there have to be machines involved somehow, which I want to get to the bottom of that one day. as my husband says, he's like, if a company surpasses you, he's like, that's great. Just keep selling them your Daisy Makes products
yeah.
and they keep buying them. And it's a win for everybody. And like you said, there are enough cake pop lovers out there in the wide world, you know, that like there's enough business for all of us. And even if I do lose a couple customers because like I have helped somebody, like for instance, there's another cake popper named Angela in Wadsworth. Mm-hmm. And so she came to actually pick up her Pop Innovations products. Mm-hmm. So I got to like bring her in, like show her the pop shop. Like it was such a fun time. Mm-hmm. And she is selling to a coffee shop that could have been carrying Daisy Pops, mm-hmm. but the trade-off of like me getting to meet Angela, like we compare notes all the time, you know, we can help each other out, was so much better than us selling, you know, a few dozen cake pops a week to this coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, and also I feel like when it comes to things like bakery and food and even like service products, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or services that are offered, like, I look at it like this, like coffee shops, right? So I go to a lot of different coffee shops mm-hmm. and I buy coffee from a lot of different places. I love Ready Set Coffee. I buy their coffee. But mm-hmm. then when I go to see you in Kent and I'm down there, I like to go to Scribbles and I like to stop in at Bent Tree. And I always I pick coffee up from all these different places. And it's like, there's certain things that like, you know, Scribbles has that I'm like, right. I'm going to go and get flavored coffee from them because I love their flavored mm-hmm. coffee, you know, versus like, I really like the dark roast at Ready Set Coffee. So I feel like for you, even if there's like people locally, like there might be a cake pop that someone's like, no, these are really cute. I want these, or I really like this, the flavor of this. And then maybe she has a cake pop that they're like, I really like that. So like, it's kind of like
exactly. mm-hmm.
going back and forth.
Right. And it's nice too, that we only make like disc pops, like only flat pops. So yeah. if people are asking like, hey, can you make these, but like 3D, we just say no now, but we say a no, but we say no, but here is a list of fellow cake poppers in the area that you could ask. So then it's a win-win. It's like, we're not wasting our time, but like we have our, you know, our process down. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to deviate from that.
Yeah.
But there are other cake poppers who are more than happy, and then we get them business.
That's awesome. And you're providing a solution, which
exactly.
I think is ultimately mm-hmm. most important to customers.
Yes.
But okay, so going from there, let's talk a little bit about you starting your business. Like when you first started in the early days, were there anything, I mean, obviously we know like you were trying to become more efficient and you're trying to do it faster. But outside of that, was there anything that you feel like, you know, that was like tasking that you didn't maybe fully understand when you first got started and was kind of a struggle to like get past, and now you're like, I've got this?
Oh, I mean, so many things are a struggle when starting your business. But I say something I got really good at really fast was delegation. Mm-hmm. simply because I was teaching full time. So, and I had three little kids at home. So there were only so many hours in a day. And even if I was staying up to like 2 a.m. making cake pops, I still wouldn't have gotten through all of them. So I learned really early on, like, okay, I'm going to need help and I'm going to need good help. And so how do we make this work? And then the teaching really comes in handy because I was able to teach my coworkers, you know, my process and how to do it so that they could replicate exactly what I'm doing, which is still really helpful. And always the goal of a teacher is that your students surpass you.
Yeah.
And so as a pop artist, I feel the same. So like several of my coworkers are better than me at cake popping now, which is a great thing. Like I'd be like, huh, like I taught them that, you know, and then they just took what I taught and just keep on going up, which is so great to see.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That I would say that, yeah, I definitely think like that's a great thing to touch on, like the delegation into things. And I think it's great that you were able to like be in a situation where you had to do that. Cause I feel like even on my end, just trying to like grow my business, being an entrepreneur, that's the toughest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when you have to do it and it forces you to do it, you do it. And I feel like when I've met a lot of business owners that like they're still doing everything
right.
because they can't mm-hmm. let go because they don't, not honestly, they don't have to, but like they don't see the benefit of like, mm-hmm. if you let go, you can grow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But where you were in a great position where you're like, I just physically cannot
right.
do mm-hmm. this if I don't outsource, or not outsource, but delegate.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we'll get to talking about 10,000 small businesses in a bit too. But when I started that program, it was the first semester that I wasn't teaching. So when they were saying like, oh, like you need to tear yourself away from your work, you know, one day a week, I was like, well, that shouldn't be a problem because I'm used to tearing myself away from cake popping 5 days a week to go do my actual job of teaching. So starting off there from that space was really helpful.
Yeah. That's outstanding. That's, that is a big thing that I do feel like that's one thing that program teaches a lot of teaches a lot of people to do is like taking time away from your mm-hmm. business because it is easy to get kind of like wrapped up in the whole like trying to grow the business, being in the business, doing the work for the business, and not actually trying to like work on the business to like make it better.
Yeah, that's right. Just stop working in your business and work on your business. We've all heard that many, many times.
So I guess one question I do have, and then I want to kind of jump into that 10,000 small business thing as well is. For anybody out there that's watching or listening, is there any advice that you have that like you're like if you go back and do it all over again, it doesn't have to be cake pop specific, mm-hmm. it could just be business specific. What advice would you give somebody that's starting out now?
Sure. I often say is just ask questions. You know, like that's how I started even like in the cake popping specific realm. Like I would go on Instagram, type in hashtag kitty cat cake pops, you know, and like find the photos and take all of the best pieces of information and be like, oh, like that's how they did it. And then if I couldn't figure out something, I would go to that person and ask them, say, how did you do this? And 95% of the time, somebody is willing to help you. So that has grown even more just in asking other like business people, like you mentioned Bentry and Kent, a coffee place. We do very different things, but there's also very similar things. So both of the owners at Bentry have been just incredible in my business life where I can reach out to them, say, hey, like, what did you do? You know, have I called, you know, one of them in tears because of a situation? I have, you know, and he was just so gracious and talked me through it. So I feel like surrounding yourself by people that are a lot smarter than you, a lot further ahead in business than you, and a lot more experienced than you is incredibly important. And then you also being willing to ask questions. Like now in the cake pop realm, I feel like I'm the one that usually gets asked questions these days, which is such a gift to be like, yes, like I can be in the position of those cake poppers further ahead of me and be like, I would love to help you with this. And so that's how I still feel like in the business world, because I'm like, just starting essentially. But I have all of these resources and great people who can help me. So ask questions.
That's outstanding. I love that you're paying it forward too. Like that's awesome.
Popping it forward.
Yes. I guess that's one thing I guess expanding on that a little bit is just mentorship. Like, do you have somebody, I mean, obviously you just mentioned one of the owners, Bentry, but like, mm-hmm. do you have like a mentor that you are talking to regularly or multiple mentors or things like that?
I do. So after going through the 10,000 Small Businesses program, I joined a group called Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator. And so I have an accountability group in there. We have a leader. And then I also have a separate business mentor as well. So between those like two facets of the program, it's been incredibly helpful. If only for the accountability, where I know, like after this, I have to go like answer to my group, be like, these are the goals I set last month. Like, have I met them or have I not?
Yeah.
And I am a goal oriented person, you know, but if nobody's holding me accountable to those goals, I'm like, well, I didn't, you know, didn't look at my to-do list for a week or two. So I can't do that anymore. Yeah. And then just having my mentor, Dan is his name. We meet monthly and he'll like hold me to things. You know, be like, well, why didn't you get that done? Like my kids were sick, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, well, got to do it for next month. I'm like, you're right. And just having that in my life has been incredibly helpful.
Thank you for sharing. Like, that is something that I think I'm always curious if I meet people, like, if they have a mentor, because, like, I know for me personally, like, I was in a mastermind group, and then I went through 10,000 Small Business. I'm not in the mastermind group. I'm actually planning on joining EOA at some point here in the future. But then, like, also, like, I found, like, mentorship was important enough where it's, like, I kind of feel like I have three mentors. Like, I have, like, a mentor that's, like, kind of in the marketing space that I kind of meet with once a year, twice a year. Mm-hmm. I have, like, a quarterly mentor, somebody that's kind of around my age that I feel like is way more successful than me. So I love to, like, pick his brain. And then I have somebody I meet with monthly that's kind of, like, been in business and sold businesses. And because I feel like there's value. They each provide value, because, like, it doesn't always have to be industry specific. I don't know if your mentor is industry specific.
Not at all.
I think sometimes that's a benefit.
It's a great benefit. Yeah. I found that through 10KSB. I was like, nobody else is making cake pops, you know, in my group, you know, even my entire cohort. But, like, so many of the problems are the same problems, no matter if you're a concrete company or making cake pops or, you know, filming videos. It's all a lot of the same. And I will say, too, I would be remiss in not mentioning my husband is really my personal mentor. He's owned a business for many years. And so he truly has held my hand. In lots of ways. Just be like, he's always my first one. Like, hey, like, what do I do with this situation? And he's just so experienced and so good at things. He's like, okay, Amy, like, he talks me off the cliff and I want to be like, ta-ha, you know, on emails. And he's like, this is how you respond. You know, like, this is what you say. Like, help them to be a solution to your problem instead of making them the problem. I was like, so good. So he's been incredibly helpful.
That's outstanding. That's great. And it's great to have that support too, especially someone that understands that.
Exactly. That is a huge part. Yep. I feel like both of us couldn't quite do what we're doing without, like, hey, you have to go into the office at, you know, 10 p.m. tonight. Like, that's fine. You know, I'll handle the kids who should be in bed before then, you know, but, like, so the teamwork aspect has been a real blessing.
That's great. That's fantastic. Like, so let's jump into, just because I know we've referenced it a few times, so Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business. Because I'm sure the people that are watching, listening, if they don't know what that is, they're probably like, what is that? Isn't Goldman Sachs like a bank? Like, what's going on? So I guess, like, and I mean, add to this too, because, like, I feel like we both went to the program, but I feel like you're a lot more involved, like, still continuing to be involved. And I know you've been out to New York and you've done stuff with that, with Goldman Sachs. So the way I always describe it is 10,000 Small Business is basically a program that's put on by Goldman Sachs. It's free for entrepreneurs or business owners that want to scale and grow their business and look at identifying growth opportunities. And it's about, what, 2.5 months?
I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2.5 months, once a week, and just learning how to work on your business and different aspects of it. So from there, like, if you want to talk about your experience, I'd love to hear, like, you know, what was your experience like and what did you get out of the program? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I often say, not to be dramatic, but it was life-changing for me in many aspects. But number one, like, I had never taken a business course in my life. Like, I was like, math, education, curriculum and instruction, all of those things. So, like, I had to, like, Google, what is account receivable, you know, in class? Because I was like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. So just from an educational perspective, it was great for me. Now, granted, there are probably businesses that are much further ahead that have gone even through business school, you know, going through that. But it's still helpful, I feel like, even as a refresher. So just the education part was great. The instructors were phenomenal. Like, Howard walked me through accounting, you know, and forecasting. And he was like, here, Amy, like, I'll help you. I'm like, I need it. And just learning from them. And also, they've continued to be, like, you know, mentors, essentially, even afterwards. Like, I can still reach out to them and be like, hey, like, I have a problem, you know, can you help me through this? And they have, you know, just on their own time, which I've been so grateful for. And then third is just the connections, which have been great. And it's not just your cohort, but it's your cohorts before you, your cohorts coming after you. Like, it's why I know you. You know, you were in a cohort, you after mine. Yep. And I'm so grateful for our friendship. But then even outside of, you know, that it's at Tri-C. So outside of that, there's the national 10KSB as well. So, like you mentioned, I've gotten to go to Goldman Sachs, like, headquarters the past two Christmases. They do a holiday market and they invite, I think it's about 50 to 60 of their product businesses that have graduated from this program. Yeah. So I've gotten to go there. I've gotten, you know, photos with David Solomon. You know, I've gotten to talk to the big wigs there. But also I've gotten to know the other business owners from all the different states, you know, that have flown in. And it's just been such a great experience on so many levels.
Yeah, I always, like, when you've gone both times, like, I'm always watching Instagram, and I always think it's so exciting, like, when you sell out or, like, you, like, are, like, it's cool. What I always like what you do, I feel like you also, you're going there to, like, sell cake pops and, like, do this thing, but I think that it's cool that, like, you'll post, like, taking time to, like, go see things and do things and, like, take pictures with cake pops with things, which is ultimately
important. Of course, yes.
but, like, that's, and it's great that they do that. That's yes. one thing that I love about the program is I feel like everybody that's either, you know, your local cohort or like the local program or like the national program, I feel like people are always willing to like help and like reach out. And like, I know like through the online platform, 10KSB Connect, I've met some people like nationally that have yeah. reached out and I've jumped on Zoom calls and mm-hmm. it's been cool to just meet different people. And the only connection you really have is you both have like gone through this program.
Right. Yeah. And a really funny story, a small world story, is we were next to a 10KSB, you know, different company called Cardboard Robot in New York City. And they're from a tiny town in Iowa, Decorah, Iowa. It's like 8,000 people. But we became like friends with them, you know, et cetera. A week later, I get a message from one of my friends in Kent. He was like, Amy, my family lives in Decorah, Iowa. We stopped by this place called Cardboard Robot and they knew you. I was like, that's hilarious. You know, just like a funny, funny story of just how 10KSB is like everywhere.
Yeah, it's really like, that's what I think is so cool about like that family aspect that yes. they produce. Mm-hmm. I know like I can just say from my perspective, like I love the program and I feel like I went into it, you know, I was in that mastermind and I felt like I worked on my finances a lot in there. And I was like, okay, I'm like, I feel like I have a good grip on my finances and like, I'm sure there's other things that I need to work on and I'll learn, you know, in the program. And like, I feel like what I thought I knew about my finances and what they taught me mm-hmm. was just like a whole other level and like just such a grip on it, such a way to like move things around and look at things. And I feel like when I came out, I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm sure you probably do. Like, I feel like I thought differently.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you just think so differently. And like, I've gotten that from like my wife. I've gotten that from like some of my team. Like they're like, the way you think about things is like completely different. And I really think it's the program that does that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think a big part of it too is especially the people in my group, they made me think bigger. Like I remember like doing a mission and a vision statement for the first time ever. I had never done a mission or a vision statement. And one of the things was like to be like the cake pop company in Northeast Ohio. And one of my group mates was like, why Northeast Ohio? He's like, why not national? And I was like, I don't know about that. Like it really made me think about it. And so sure enough, like the next week I had changed yeah. my mission, vision statement to be national. And that was like a real like turnkey moment for me. I was like, okay, you know, like I don't have to be stuck in Northeast yeah. Ohio with the business. Like it could expand beyond there. Yeah. So that was a big moment of like, okay, like, well, we're moving into a commercial bakery eventually. So then we can do national shipping. Mm-hmm. So it just really pushed me to think outside of the Northeast Ohio box.
Was it from the program that you kind of, because I know like you do a lot of corporate gifting and things like that, like were you kind of trying to expand into that from the program? Or were you already kind of in the corporate gifting space at that point?
We were in it a little bit, yeah. but it's definitely helped me to think more. And then also it's always you have your 10KSB people like, you know, watching out for you too. Yeah. So even if, you know, I mean, we're all small business owners in there. So even if like you don't need, you know, hundreds or thousands of cake pops, yeah. you might know somebody else who yeah. needs it. It's like, for instance, Tri-C, actually, they had an order of almost 2,000 cake pops for their holiday party a couple Christmases ago yeah. and they came to us like, oh, we love that you're a Tri-C grad, essentially. I was like, I am, yes, yeah. all right, please order from us. And they did.
That is, it's one thing I love about, I mean, specifically to like our cohort is I love the fact that like there is that like Tri-C like mm-hmm. unitedness coming yes. from the program as well, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So I guess for anybody that's maybe watching or listening, maybe they've heard of the program. And if you haven't heard of it, I'll drop a link in the actual show notes on our website. So we'll put a link in there just so you can go to the Goldman Sachs. I'll do one for the national and then one for the local, because the national one's kind of cool to check out.
Yeah.
Like their website's pretty nice too. But can you just talk about like maybe if somebody's watching this, they're interested, they're intrigued, they're thinking about, should I do it? I feel like the most common thing I hear from people when I'm like, you should do this, they're always like, I don't have the time. Like, can you maybe talk a little bit about what you would tell somebody like that?
You just make the time and you say yes, because it was so worth it in so many aspects. And like we'd already mentioned, their big thing is always you need to work on your business, not in your business. And just stepping away, you know, that one day a week plus the, you know, 10 to 15 extra hours of work, mm-hmm. you just do it, you know, and you'll make it happen. I feel like people have always said like, well, there's never a good time to do that. Just like there's never a good time to have a baby. It's always like, yeah. oh, like I have to do this. But guess what? People still have babies and they still raise them, you know, yeah. into adulthood, and it always works out. So this is a situation where, you know, you're probably good at saying no to a lot of things. Don't say no to this. Mm-hmm. Say yes, like at least worth the conversation to figure it out.
I think what's cool about it is I've always been told, like people have always told me growing up, like the greatest thing you can invest in is an education, because nobody can ever take your education away from you.
Right.
And what I think is really inspiring when I've been to some of these speed networkings and just talking to some different business owners that have gone through 10KSB, even if you eventually sell your company or you close your company and you open up a new company, mm-hmm. like they've taken those teachings and they've taken it with them to other opportunities, or they've sold their company and started something else and they started using that insight. So I feel like it's something that even if you decide to do it and like maybe you're like, well, I just want to sell my company, I don't want to, but you can still use it as you continue to grow in other things.
Right. And I remember when we started talking about exit plans and 10KSB, I was like, I'm still working on my entrance plan, you know, like, well, why don't we like back it up a little bit? But I've come to realize though that exactly what you said is true. Like in my mind, I was like, why would you ever sell your business? Now that I've gone along, I still don't want to sell my business, but other people though, like that is their goal, and 10KSB can help them get to that goal because they learn so much about that and they bring in panels, you know, of people, of professionals that you can ask questions to and talk with about situations like that.
I'm really trying to get my brother to go through, because like my dad owns his own like his electrical contractor has his own company. My brother would be the next generation to take it over, and they keep plugging that at like when I was there, they were like, oh well, this is great for like if it's a generational business and the next generation is coming in, because it sets them up for success. So that's like another thing, like if you're about to take over a family business, I think that's a great step to take. Also, I don't know if you knew this, but I recommended 10KSB to a friend of mine who. She has a graphic design business in Florida, and I was like, you really have to do this program. It's amazing. And we looked to see like if there was one in her area, and it's like I think the one that was closest to her was like a couple hours away, but she saw on the website that like there's opportunity.
A national cohort, right?
Yeah, and you can do it online.
Yeah, you do it online, and then like your last week or something, you actually get to go to Goldman Sachs headquarters, which I was always so jealous of. I'm like, that'd be like so fun to be there for class.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so even if you like go on the website and you're like, oh, there's not one in my area, you could still do it.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
So this has been phenomenal. I really enjoyed talking with you last episode, this episode. For people that maybe don't know where to connect with you, can you share a little bit of how they can connect?
Sure, yeah. Well, you can always pop by the Pop Shop in Kent, Ohio. We're at 154 North Water Street. Also, my email address is amy@daisypops.com. Love talking business. Love talking pop. Love talking anything. So please reach out.
Yeah, that's definitely reach out to Amy, and I can also like be a testimonial to that. I know like I just stopped by. I try to stop by every time I'm in Kent, and I know last time we had a great conversation about business, so it was phenomenal, which ultimately led to me wanting to do this podcast. I'm like, we should be talking about this stuff.
Yes.
So this has been great. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining us, and go check out the link for Goldman Sachs and follow Amy. Let's get her to 30,000 followers.
Yes, well, thanks for the opportunity.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.